Let's see. Well, hello everyone. It is about 11 a.m. on June 28th. This will be our lecture today. It will be the final lecture of the first week of class. In our first week of class, my goal was to cover 8 units. As it turns out, we will cover only 7, but that is still a pretty good pace. And we will continue to evaluate our pace as we go through the course. The plan for this lecture is to finish talking about the weather. I want to talk about how to say a lot versus a little bit. For example, it's very foggy versus it's a little bit foggy. Then I will begin to talk about our counting unit. Our counting unit has to do with numbers, with counting different kinds of things, and we're going to see some significantly longer words in that unit. I also have a few announcements to make about outside practice meetings and submitting your outside practice hours. But perhaps I will keep those announcements outside of this lecture. Before we get into weather, a brief note on greetings. One of our core greetings phrases is, "Are you okay?" In Barkly Sound dialects, we ask, "Chechem hayhak," or "Chechem hayhakqua." In Central and Northern, we usually say, "Shahyutk," or "Shahyutkqua." So our default words for okay are "Chechem hay" or "Shahyut," depending on dialect. But in addition to these, there's another very common word for okay, which is "Weekshahe" in Barkly and "Weekshen" in Central and Northern. And this is used almost as frequently. So in Barkly Sound dialects, in addition to Chechem hayhak, we can ask Weak shahayhak. In Central and Northern, in addition to Shahyutk, we can ask Weak shahenk. These mean almost the same thing, but when you use Weak shahayhak or Weak shahenk, there's an additional implication that there's some reason for you to be asking this. There's some reason why the person might not be okay. So asking Weak shahayhak or Weak shahenk is more common when someone has been sick or if they've lost someone close to them. Whereas the questions Chechem hayhak and Shahyutk are neutral questions. You're not implying or assuming anything. Now we're moving to our weather unit again. I'll start by talking about the East Barkly Sound dialect. In your weather unit, please cast your eyes down to conversation 3. Conversation 3 uses several weather words, and it's kind of a grab bag of additional things we might want to say about the weather. Conversation 1 is our default conversation that everyone should have memorized and ready to go on a moment's notice to use in your standard greeting. U'ukokma anima u'ukok. Conversation 2 shows how to ask a question and make a negative statement. Wiksi ha, is it stormy? Wikma wiksi, it is not stormy. Conversation 3 gives us 2 ways to ask about the weather. Akan atha nas, literally, how is the day now? And akan apatha hitas, what is it doing outside now? These are 2 common ways to ask about the weather, and you can use either one. Then there are 4 optional responses. Sitwa hakma, it's cloudy. Sitwa hakma. Uchkaktskinma, it's a little foggy. Uchkaktskinma. Tlupakakma, it's really hot. Tlupakakma. Haya akah kwaatli hitas, I don't know how the weather is. Haya akah kwaatli hitas. The first response, "Tliwa hakma," is just about the simplest kind of sentence you can make about the weather. The second one, "Uchkaktskinma," it's a little foggy, shows how we can say it's a little bit. In Barkly Sound dialect, we do this using the ending "tskin." The ending "tskin" comes soon after the stem and before "mood." It also comes before "utl." "Uchkaktskinma." If we put "utl" in, it'll come after "tskin" and before "mood." "Uchkaktskin utlma," it's a little foggy now. Let's build that word, starting from the stem. "Uchkak," foggy. "Uchkaktskin," a little foggy. "Uchkaktskin utl," a little foggy now. Uchkaktskin Atma. Complete sentence. It's a little foggy now. Skin is a very flexible ending. You can add it to just about anything to mean kind of or a little bit. For example, when you ask someone, "Are you okay?" Chechem hehak. It's acceptable to answer Chechem heitzkin mah. Chechem heitzkin mah. I'm a little bit okay. Let's build that word. Chechem he. Okay. Chechem heitzkin. A little bit okay. Chechem heitzkin mah. I'm a little bit okay. And there are lots of other words you can add skin to. It's a very flexible ending. Now let's talk about the next sentence. Tlopakakma. It's really hot. Tlopakakma. Here you'll notice that we're conveying the meaning of very or a lot using the ending kak. Kak is similar to tskin in that we put it at the end of a stem to modify the stem. They are opposites in that tskin means a little bit and kak means a lot or very. However, kak is significantly more complicated to pronounce than tskin is. This is for a couple of reasons. First, kak, you'll see it consists of three sounds, Q, A, Q. However, the first Q is not always pronounced. This is one of many endings that starts in what we call a weak consonant. The weak consonant is pronounced after vowels and after nasal consonants, which are M and N. But after all other consonants, that first Q is not pronounced. Also, the ending kak is a templatic ending, which means that it enforces a particular template on its stem. In particular, kak tries to make its stem begin with two short syllables. That is, it tries to make both of the first two vowels short. You can see this happening in tlopakakma. The word for hot weather is tlopa. Normally, tlopa is short long. The first syllable has a short vowel, the second syllable has a long vowel. Tlopa. But when we add kak to it, tlopa becomes tlopa, short, short. Tlopakak. Tlopakak, very hot. Tlopakakma. In addition to the weak Q and the fact that it enforces a template on its stem, it will behave in a particular way under hardening. Yesterday, we talked about the hardening ending ut, which is a very important ending. The part of the pronunciation of the ending ut is that it tries to harden the last sound of its stem. We also talked about how only some sounds in Nunchaknoth can harden. Typically, plosives can harden, but other sounds cannot. When ut comes after a sound that cannot harden, it inserts a glottal stop instead. But there's a third possibility, which has to do with a Q. When Qs harden in Nunchaknoth, something funny happens. Qs tend to harden into pharyngeal stop. You might recall that I said that hard Q's are very rare in Nunchaknoth. Nunchaknoth does not like glottalized Q's. In a way, the pharyngeal stop is the hard Q in Nunchaknoth. So when a Q hardens, usually because it's followed by a hardening ending, the Q becomes a pharyngeal. Let me give you an example of that. If we put ut into this word, into tlopakakma, the result is tlopakaatma. Tlopakaatma. What is happening is the second Q of kak is to becoming a pharyngeal stop. And then the whole word is pronounced tlopakaatma. That may be too much to hear and absorb at all at once, but you can make this easier by building the word gradually. So let's start with the stem again. The stem is tlopa, tlopa, whose vowels are short, long, tlopa. Then when we add kak, we get tlopakak, tlopakak. Notice that the ending has enforced a short, short template on its stem. Tlopakak. Next, we'll add ut, and we get tlopakaat. Tlopakaat. Last, we add the mood ending. Tlopakaatma. Tlopakaatma. And the result is, it's very hot now. Now's a good chance to ask questions about skin, kak, and hardening, if you have any. Cuck begins with a weak Q, and the rule for weak consonants is that they are pronounced only after vowels and nasals. The nasals are M and N. To give another example of that, the most of the real mood endings in Barkly Sound dialects also begin with a weak consonant, in this case a weak M. That weak M is pronounced only after vowels and nasals. You might have noticed that when I say Chechemhetskinmah, I'm a little bit okay. The stem of ma is Chechemhetskin, which ends in an N, which is a nasal, so we pronounce the M of ma, Chechemhetskinmah. But when I say Ohatla, it's me, Ohatla, there the stem is Ohatl, which ends in a lambda, which is neither a vowel nor a nasal, therefore the M of the ending is not pronounced. Ohatla. Any other questions? So the upshot of this brief lecture on tskin and kuk is that tskin is pretty easy to use. You can slap it on pretty much anything that you want to modify with a little bit, and it'll work as long as you know what order to put it in. With respect to the endings we've learned so far, tskin comes before ut and before mood. Kuk, on the other hand, is significantly more difficult to use. You have to worry about the weak consonant, about the template, and about the Q hardening into a pharyngeal. So I advise you not to use kuk if you're a beginner. If you're an advanced learner, you can start to use kuk, but you will probably have to memorize for every word you want to use it with how to pronounce that word with kuk. Some weather words are some of the best words to do this with. So at some point, possibly in this course, possibly in the next course, we will probably look at a list of weather words with and without kuk and then memorize that, which will give us the ability to say very. One more thing about very in a little bit. There's another alternative to using tskin and kuk. Tskin and kuk are endings. You put them on the end of the word that you want to modify. But in addition, Nuchanoff can also use the words big and little as modifiers. The word big, ih, can also be used to mean very. So some dialects can say ih ma tlupa. That's literally it's big hot, but it's used to mean it's very hot. Generally speaking, that is seems to be the most common in Cayucat dialect, and then it gets less and less common as you go south. So some Barkly speakers have told me that they would absolutely not do that, but it's very common in Cayucat. Similarly, Cayucat uses the word for little, which in Cayucat dialect is anahis, and in other dialects is achknahis, uchknahis, or anahis, to mean a little bit. So depending on your dialect, that might be an alternative to using the endings skin and kuk. We've had a question how to say it's very foggy in central dialect. I would say uchqaqaqatlish. Uchqaqaqatlish. Let's walk through that word. The stem is uchqaq. When I add kuk to it, the weak Q is not pronounced. The stem is already short. But we will round the K for reasons that I will not go into here. So uchkuk becomes uchkakwak. Then I add utl, which gives us uchkakwaatl. Then we add the mood, uchkakwaatlish. It's very foggy. So that goes to show that it can be said, but it is not simple. One more note about central dialect, whereas the endings for a little bit and very are tskin and kuk in Barkly Sound dialect. In Central dialect, we have another option for a little bit, which is tana. The ending tana is spelled hard TANA, and we can see an example of it in the Central weather handout. I'm looking at conversation three in the Central weather unit. Notice that here it's a little foggy, is uchkak tana ish. Uchkak tana ish. Tana means exactly the same thing as tskin. It's just a matter of dialect. Central dialect uses both. In Central, you have the option of using tskin or tana for a little bit. But once you get north of Central, people only use tana. So in northern dialect, like Ahadisit Nuchatlit, tana is used for a little bit, and kak is used for very. That concludes what I want to say today about a little bit and a lot with regard to the weather. So now's a good time to ask any final questions you have about that. Now I'm going to move on to our counting unit. Again, I will be starting with East Barkly Sound dialect. You should see the East Barkly Sound version of our counting unit on my screen. This unit is available starting today at the curriculum and lessons page at quistoup.net. Our goals in this unit will be to learn how to count from 1 to 20, and you already heard some people do that this morning. We're also going to learn how to count people, days, years, and chunks. And you'll see what I mean by chunks in a bit. We're also going to start learning some plural forms. So I want to start by pronouncing all of the words. Hinda Tinis, if you want to be my designated repeater, please do. Our first word is huksa. Huksa. Counting. Hukschitl. Hukschitl. To start counting. These words differ only in aspect. Huksa is continuous aspect. Hukschitl is complete aspect. We will get a full, you'll get a full explanation of what aspect means in Unit 9. Anna. Anna. Anna asks how many? Kutma. Kutma. Kutma also means how many, but Anna is the direct version. Kutma is the indirect version. Eventually, you will get a full explanation of that as well. Now we're going to look at some quantifiers. Quantifiers are words that say how many. In other words, they answer the question posed by Anna or Kotma. Our first quantifier is Aya. Aya. Aya means many. The opposite of Aya is Katma. Katma. Notice that kutma and kutma are very close. You will have to pronounce these words precisely in order to distinguish them. Kutma has a Q and a U. Kutma has a K and an A. Otherwise, they're identical. Kutma, kutma. The word kutma, because it indicates a small amount of something, that is few or a little bit. It often takes the ending is. Is is the generic diminutive ending in Nuchanov. It is used on small things and small amounts. So usually when we say few, we don't just say kut ma, we say kut me is. Kut me is. Notice that in Barkly Sound dialect, this word will also undergo umlaut because is starts with glottal stop I. The A of kutma becomes an E. Kutma, kutme is. Our next quantifier is wikit. Wikit. None. Now we're to the numbers. Nuchanov has numbers for 1 through 10. Tsawak. Tsawak. When you pronounce this word in a Nuchanov accent, the second syllable should be slightly stronger than the first. That means we're putting the word stress on the second syllable. Tsawak. But as I mentioned, when people pronounce this in an English accent, even Nuchanov people who speak Nuchanov, when they say this word in English, they stress it on the first syllable and they say tsawak. Be aware that tsawak is English accented Nuchanov, whereas Nuchanov accented Nuchanov sounds like tsawak. Atla. Atla. Katsuta. Katsuta. Three. We talked earlier about how katsuta has two C's. Both C's are pronounced. In Nichanoth, when two plosives come one after the other, each one is released, even if they're the same plosive. So the first C gets a release, and the second C gets a release. When we pronounce them by syllables, it sounds like this. Katsuta. Katsuta. Moo. Moo. Sucha. Sucha. Nupu. Nupu. Notice that Nupu starts with a hard N. You will have, if you're a native English speaker, you will probably have to put forth extra effort to pronounce both C's in katsutsa and the hard N in nupu. Atpu. Atpu. Atlakwas. Atlakwas. Tsawakwas. Tsawakwas. Hayu. Hayu. Nuchanoth has no individual words for the teens. There are no words for 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and so on. Instead, these are made by combining 10 with a digit. But there are individual names for the 20s. The first one we're going to learn is the word for 20, which is tsakhets. Tsakhets. The word for and is oh-ish. Oh-ish. In some dialects, this is pronounced short-long, but in Barkly Sound dialects, it's pronounced short-short. Oh-ish. In addition, in Barkly Sound dialects, there's a short version of and, which is just ish. Ish. Oh-ish and ish mean the same thing. They're not entirely interchangeable. These days, ish seems to be used mostly in complex numbers, whereas oh-ish is used in most other contexts. But you can use either one in either context. Next are some words for people, and you'll see that these words we have in both the singular and the plural form. So these are the first words that we're learning plural forms of. Our first word is person, which is ko-us. Ko-us. The plural in Barkly Sound dialect is ko-t-ko-us. Ko-t-ko-us. People. Chakup. Chakup. Man, also the word for husband. Plural, chakupih. Chakupih. Next, tlutsma. Tlutsma. Most beginners look at the C and the S in tlutsma and they ask, are they both really pronounced? And the answer is yes, they are both really pronounced, or at least they used to be. Although these days you hear the S less and less. A lot of people just pronounce the C and don't pronounce the S, but the conservative pronunciation is tlutsma. Tlutsma, with both a C and an S. The plural, tlutsame. Tlutsame. Child, datna. Datna. Plural, datna. Datna. These words will also take special care to pronounce, because in the word datna, child, the singular child, datna, we have a hard N, which is pronounced phonetically with a catch in the throat, which is identical to a glottal stop just before the N. Now, in West Coast North American English, That also happens to be the pronunciation of the T at the end of a syllable. Consider the pronunciation of the English word bitten. Bitten. We write that with a T, but in fact, the T in bitten is pronounced like a glottal stop in even in English. As a result, when English speakers hear words like dutna, they tend to hear it as if there's a T there, even though there isn't. But in the plural form, there actually is a T there. Tatna. Tatna. So you're going to have to fight your own West Coast American accent in order to pronounce the difference between tatna and tatna. Tatna, tatna. The thing to keep in mind is that tatna has an actual plain T in Nuchanoth, and Nuchanoth never reduces its T to a glottal stop the way English does, because in Nuchanoth, T and glottal stop are two distinctive sounds. It would be a bad thing to collapse them into one. In addition, because a child is a small thing, the word for child is frequently pronounced with the diminutive ending. So I'm going to pronounce the words for child and children again, both with and without the diminutive ending. The singular form of child is tatna. Tatna. With the diminutive ending, it's tatneis. Tatneis, which means something like little child. So we refer to small children, that is roughly age 10 and under, as tatneis. But if you're talking about your adult child, for example, if Inyatinus' father was talking about her, he would call her his tatna, not his tatneis, because Inyatinus isn't little anymore. The plural of child is tatna. Tatna. With the diminutive, it's tatneis. Tatneis. Little children. Next, hopas. Hopas. Hopas means sun or moon, and by extension, month. One of the things we'll be learning how to count is months. Tana. Tana. The Nuchanoth word tana comes from the English word dollar. It means both dollar in particular and money in general. I want to take just a couple minutes to look at the words in the central lesson. Most of these are identical to the Barclay lesson. I'll just be going over the words that are different. The words for how many in central dialect are una. Una and Kotma. Kotma. The word for few is Kapma. Kapma. And when this takes the diminutive in central and northern dialects, there is no umlaut. We say Kapma is. Kapma is. Few or a little bit. Compare that to Barclay sound, cut me is. Cut me is. Take a look at the words for and. The word for and in central is oh ish. The vowels are short, long. Oh ish. The word for woman in central, sutsma, is never pronounced with an s. It's just sutsma. Sutsma. The words for child can take the diminutive just as in other dialects, but in central and northern dialects there's no umlaut. Let's pronounce those forms. Child, datna. Little child, datna is. Children, datna. Little children, datna is. Last, in central and northern dialects, the word for money is long short, tana. Tana. Next, we'll look at some of the conversations in the counting unit using the East Barclay Sound version. Conversation one. Huxa witasin. Hooks gently. When person A prompts person B, B responds by counting. Tsawak atla katsa mu sucha. This very simple conversation one, is an opportunity for person B to practice their counting and pronunciation, and for person A to practice a couple of ways to use the two forms of count. Huksa, the continuous form, versus Hukschitl, the complete form. We haven't yet learned what exactly the difference is between continuous and complete, but you can start by learning a few examples of where they can be used. If we are announcing what we're going to do, we would probably use the continuous form, Huksa Witasin. But if we are telling someone to start counting, we would probably use the complete form, Huksjiatli. Next, conversation two gives you some examples of some very simple quantificational sentences. That is, sentences that ask or answer how much. 2A asks, how many children are there? Anaha dat neis. Anaha dat neis. This is one of the first sentences I use when I teach counting to children. If I'm teaching a class full of children, the easiest thing to count is children, and so this is the question I use. Anaha dat neis. How many kids are there? Suchama dat neis. There are five children. Notice that in order to make this sentence, all we do is take a quantifier, sucha, and put a mood ending on it, and we have a complete sentence. Suchama dat neis. Numbers are just one kind of quantifier. We also have quantifiers that talk about general amounts without actually counting them. Ayama dat neis. Ayama tat neis. If there are none, wikitma tat neis. Wikitma tat neis. Next, we'll do those same conversations in central dialect. Central Dialect, Conversation 1. Huksa utas nish, huksjiatli. Tsawak atla katsamu sucha. Kopmayit at nais. Kopmayit at nais. Notice that in Barkley Sound dialect, when we ask how many, the usual way to ask that is with the direct question word ana, followed by question mood. Anaha, how many are there? But in Central and Northern dialects, the preferred way to ask how many is with the indirect question word koma, which takes the weak mood. So we get komayi dat nais. Means the same thing. It's just a different way of putting it. The responses are the same, except we use strong instead of real mood. Sucha ish dat nais. There are five children. Sucha ish dat nais. Aya ish dat nais. Aya ish dat nais. There are many children. Wikit ish dat nais. Wikit ish dat nais. I think you'll find that these sentences are quite simple. The biggest challenge, I think, for most of you in mastering conversations one and two will be with the pronunciation. We've seen a few words in this unit that require very precise pronunciation. For example, distinguishing kopma from kapma, also distinguishing the singular and plural of child, tatna, tatna. Some of these words will take the diminutive ending in Barkly sound dialects that will often result in umlaut. So I will ask you all to concentrate especially on your pronunciation as you're practicing these words and these conversations. Before ending this lecture, I will mention one other topic that we'll be going into more detail at our next class, which is how to count people versus days versus chunks. In order to talk about this, I'm going to call up the first words. Those of you who can see my screen can see that I'm on the curriculum and lesson page at quizdoop.net. I'm going to open the first words for East Barkly Sound Dialect. As we've said before, first words includes 1,000 words, which are divided into five blocks of 200 words each. Within each block, the words are divided into 12 categories. Category 9 is quantifiers, which include numbers. Right now, we're looking on page 4. Page 4 shows us the block 1 quantifiers, which include the numbers from 1 to 5. The block 2 quantifiers are on page 8. Here we have the numbers from 6 to 100. On page 12, sorry, page 11 are the block 3 quantifiers. Here we start to get some quantifiers combined with counting endings. We're going to focus on three counting endings in this unit, which are chih for counting days, qich for counting years, and qimh for counting chunks. By chunk, I mean a stereotypical object that is roughly round or chunky in shape. The most common things that get counted as chunks in Nuchanov are dollars and months. The reason is that dollar coins are round and the moon is round. Therefore, they are treated as chunks. In Barkly Sound dialect, the ending for chunks is kimth, and to count 1, 2, 3, and 4 chunks, the words are nupkimth, utkimth, katsakimth, mukumth. You'll find these at the bottom of page 11. Let's go through these again, and I'll give Hinatinius a chance to pronounce them as well this time. One chunk or $1, nupkimth. Two chunks or dollars, utkimth. Three chunks, katsakimsh. Four chunks, mukumsh. After those, you'll see the words for counting 1, 2, 3, and 4 days, and 1, 2, 3, and 4 years. Each of these things, chunks, days, and years, has its own special counting ending in Nuchanov. And you should memorize the words for 1, 2, 3, and 4 combined with that counting ending because some of them have unpredictable forms. This is one of the things that I'll ask you to study over the next few days, and we'll continue talking about this next week. That's the end of my lecture. I will now take your questions. Chooch. Yeah, Randy Lee just pointed out that skin does not make a neat syllable because it starts with two consonants. What this means is that the C of skin and the K of skin will always be in different syllables. For example, take the word chachim hetskin mah. I'm a little bit okay. The syllables are cha, chim, hetskin, mah. Cha, chim, hetskin, mah. And because of the regular pattern of Nuchanal syllabification, the C and the K of skin will always be in different syllables. Does that answer your question? Yeah, I guess you could say that, although you should be careful where you use the word lazy. Yeah, as I've said before, learners really want meaningful parts to correspond to syllables. They know that skin is a meaningful part, so they really want to pronounce it as a single syllable, But if you are pronouncing Nechanlth right, it will be pronounced across two syllables. I believe Charlotte had her hand up too. Yeah, good question. Yeah, we have a question about the sentence "such amat atneis," which means there are five children. Charlotte's pointing out the children are plural, and the word "atneis" reflects this, right? "Atneis" is plural, and you happen to know that the plural form of "ma" is "ma'ath." So why isn't the sentence "such amat atneis"? The answer is that, in generally speaking, Nechanlth is less strict about plurality than English is. Just about the only words in Nechanlth that have to show plurality are words for people. So person, man, woman, child, these words consistently will pluralize or not, depending on whether we're talking about one or many. But the mood endings with "uth" are almost always completely optional. So when you're talking about five people, you can say such umma uth, there are five of them, such umma uth. But usually the "uth" would be omitted and people would just say such amma, such amma. Generally, the ending "uth" is only used when it's very important to show that you're talking about a they as opposed to a he, she, or it. Otherwise, it's left out. We've now reached the end of our first week. This was our introductory week. Our goal was to cover eight introductory units. We covered seven instead. We established some good habits, I think, with how we come together in the morning, practice our greetings, review our old material, break into groups, report, present what we did in our groups, then have a lecture and a debriefing period together. Next week, we're going to have a few other people join us. These are advanced students who either didn't have time or wanted to wait until the intermediate part of the course started. So we'll see a few new faces starting next week. We're also starting two weekly outside meetings, one on Monday, one on Saturday, to have intensive, repetitive practice of words and sentences. This is exactly the kind of practice that we need in order to build our fluency. And I will remind all of you enrolled students to submit your hours to me by the end of the month. You'll find a form for that on the course webpage. I'll see you guys on Thursday, if not before. Chooch!